What is up? You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded, ancestral, traditional, and shared territories of the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations in the city colonially known as Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And you just heard the song Reborn from the Ashes off of the EP Moon Moth Goes to the Flames by Netza, N3ZHA, aka Mia, also known as Mimi on Bandcamp M1M. One, and they just performed at the most recent Fountains event this past weekend. So exciting, so cool, so talented. And you heard this track on Teachable Moments, CITR's one-stop shop for what's hot and what's not. I'm your host, Dork, you are you. And today's definition of the word cool is cool noun, moments, things, ideas, and people that make the world feel more crowded. This definition comes from the one and the only Simon Grefiel, who is one part of Gulutanawin, also has their own project or like DJ project, DJ Zygote, and is just like a prolific artist and organizer in Vancouver. And I had the amazing opportunity to chat with them a couple weeks ago about their projects and just kind of like pick his brain. And there's more to the definition of the word cool, which we'll get into maybe later in the episode. I do want to get right into the tracks and right into the convo. But yeah, it was so interesting, and I'm excited for the people to hear. So we're going to play a song first. This is Nalu Lug Lug Log, which I was like looking up. I just want to like know how to pronounce it before going into the shows. And I just like looked up whatever. Nalu Lug Lug Log. And what comes up is all these sound effect videos on YouTube, which are basically just like, I guess like the sample or whatever. I think it's just like a sound, or not just, but it's a sound that's used a lot in like Filipino dance music. And I just thought it was a really funny, like the amount of like sound effect videos I just thought was funny. And it was always like people like, there was this one video of this guy like almost falling, reaching towards a waterfall and almost falling, but then like correcting himself. So yeah, that's kind of cool. So anyway, this is Nahu Lug Lug Log by Teya Logos, a Psy recommendation. And you're listening to it on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. We'll be right back.
ZZ Theatre presents the Rainbow Youth Project, produced by Yanting Chu and curated by Brittany O'Rourke, Alan Pronger, and Bria Shantz. This annual community storytelling project centers the 2S LGBTQ plus voices who often don't get a say in their lives, bodies, and identities. Bringing two-spirit, queer, and trans youth from across Metro Vancouver to share their stories. The Rainbow Storytelling Project is a low-barrier, one-on-one project in which people share true stories from their lives. It is designed to challenge stereotypes and preconceived notions of otherness, promote dialogue, reduce prejudices, and encourage understanding by connecting people who, under normal circumstances, might never meet. The Rainbow Youth Project will be running on dates November 16th, 17th, the 23rd, and 24th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at Vancouver Public Library Central Branch on the third floor. This is a free event with no sign-up required. All that is necessary is your attendance and your empathy.
Supplies for hormone injections and safer substance use are now available for free from AMS SASC and peer support. Folks can order supplies online or drop by during office hours to access these resources. Confidential forms and additional information can be found on their website, www.amssasc.ca, or you can drop by either office located on the third floor of the Nest. This initiative is part of the SASC and Peer Support's commitment to providing equitable access to harm reduction supplies and can be accessed by anyone in the community. I'ma keep on talking about it
because it's true for me. Okay, first question is just, do you mind introducing yourself and like your projects? Misk?
Yeah, my name is Simon Griffiel. I can also go by Psy. My DJ name, I guess, is DJ Zygote. And me and my friend Raylan McGrath make music together under Gulod Tanawin. I mostly do visual art. I came from like a visual art background, and music is a very, very new thing for me, just like, you know, something started really last year. But yeah, it came from having my studio being too full, like, of objects, and I think I was like, just running out of space, and especially in Vancouver where, you know, space is like very expensive, I need to figure out how to make something that doesn't take too much physical space. Yeah, and music is and I kind of fell in love with DJing and making music with Raylan, because I don't know, it just kind of was a totally different way of making, because usually when you make art, visual art, and you put in a gallery, you don't have like a bunch of people moshing or you're not dancing with people, or yeah, and you don't hear what people are like or see what people are experiencing. So DJing is so like receptive, like you're like seeing what's going around. And then yeah, making music, performing with, yeah, making music with a friend, it's like you're literally making it together in a studio. And then also when you're performing it, yeah, it's with people around. And like, it's, yeah, there's always a reaction. Or there's always like energy you feed from, and there's always like energy that you always give to an audience, which is like so interesting. It's so different.
Totally. What kind of, how would you describe, because I was trying to like, I was watching your Jungle Asia set that you guys did together, and I was trying to describe like in my brain like what genre I guess it is, like how would you describe that sound?
Yeah, so we're I think some parts of it is explained by like our name, you know, so Gulod Tanawin, means like view, mountainside view, you know, like a ridge. And then
That
and
makes so
talk.
much sense. I was Googling because I was trying to figure out how to pronounce it, and I just like kept, just all these like camping videos came up.
Oh
And
yeah.
I was like, oh, cool. Like, not that helpful, but slay.
Yeah. So yeah, it's from, yeah, because Raylan did like a like a bike, like biking tour around northern Philippines, and she came across like this place called Gulutan, which is like basically ridge view or mountainside view. And she did like sound recordings, field recordings that we actually use, like those samples
Oh,
sometimes
cool.
in our music making. But for me, when she said that, like it made me think about like how, you know, it's like when you climb over a mountain and then you see like when you get to the other side and you see like what's beyond. So I think like, I don't know, as genre wise, we don't know exactly, just kind of like seeing like what's out there, and kind of exploring it. It a lot of the times it started out like, let's make a Buduts track. And Buduts, it's like this music genre in the Philippines where it's like from Davao, it's like from Visayan speaking people. We're usually played in rural areas, and basically we go to see, you're like, oh, let's make a Buduts track. But it always turns out like not, like it always becomes different. Like it never, we never made a Buduts track yet,
That's
you
so
know?
funny.
And like and we also shared a studio with or the studio, it's a private studio, but like the neighboring studios are all like heavy metal bands, you know? So I think like when we're trying to make music, it's like they're all loud. Like, you know, you can hear everything. So I think that definitely influences our music a lot. And that's why it's so like you can mosh to it, but I don't think we'd love moshing, but yeah, I think that's what the force that like moves it away from us, like, okay, let's make like dub track, or let's make a British. Yeah, it's like it just always shifts to something like hardcore, like metal or something.
Totally. How do you see, like, because as you're talking, I'm kind of thinking, like, I'm really envisioning the pieces of jewelry that you were
Oh yeah.
making for a while. These kind of, like, I guess, like, if I tried to describe them, I would say, like, kind of spiky, but also, like, quite delicate. Yeah. I don't know. Very beautiful piece of jewelry. But, like, those, that visual does kind of match that audio to me
Oh
somehow.
yeah.
Is there, do you like see or like feel when you're making music with Raylan or by yourself, like that a similar kind of like impulse for visual kind of outputs that you're trying to make? Do you feel or like see some kind of analogous things coming out through music?
Yeah, I think yeah. So Raylan actually is like like knows so much more of Ableton than I am, than I do. So she, yeah, she's like been like have this relationship with music softwares for like such a longer time. Like I'm learning from Raylan, you know. And I think like how when we were producing, when she's like working with like, for example, like a sample, like even some of the percussions are like this like bat sample that she had, like a and then we like use it as like an instrument. When we're like exploring like how like the shape of the sound, I do like it. Like you could, it's kind of funny, but you can see it visually, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So when she's exploring it, when I'm like, oh yeah, that's it, that's it. It does kind of look like some of the sculpture, you know?
Funny,
So I think that might be it. It's just like, and also she's into that like sensibility too. Like I think, yeah, it just like kind of like we just like magnetize each other because we're kind of into that, like that vibe. Like I guess like for me it came from like something visual or like sculptural, and then but like she's always been into that kind of sound. That kind of, yeah, relates.
Cool. How did you guys meet? Like, how did you start working together?
So we met because she heard that I was hosting a Buddhist party, and she stopped by because this is back in a time where, well, back in time it was literally like 2 years or something, but no one really knew what Buddhist was.
Yeah.
No one knew, and so that's why like I hosted it, to kind of like inject the city with like this, I don't know, amazing genre. And Raylan was actually one of the very few people that knew about it, was the enthusiastic about it, so much so that she even like recorded a DJ set by one of like the producers when she traveled to the
Oh, crazy.
yeah, so she was definitely like on it, and she had like the USB, like I thought, because I've been like getting songs through the internet, but she had a USB of the tracks directly from like the producers from the Philippines, you know. So yeah, so that's like kind of what, and we talked about like, oh, like I do like a set for Acceleration Radio and stuff, and then we just kind of yeah, we kind of just organically decided, yeah, like let's make music. Yeah, I actually don't remember why,
Cute.
like how we end up being in the studio, but yeah, it just kind of organically came about.
Sweet. What do you see like for yourself? Like, is the difference between Gula Tunawin and DJ Zygotte? Like, how are those different in your brain?
I think they're very different. Like DJ Zygo is more like yeah, like it's more like I'm exploring like different tracks. Like I'm kind of, know, like the way I see it, it's kind of like art making too, which is like I'm researching, I'm just absorbing. And then I think like DJing is like that. I'm just like absorbing these kind of like music that I'm like really into, and I'm like it forced. It also like a good exercise to keep looking and keep being open and stuff. Especially when you have a gig and like, okay, well, I gotta like look for more, you know, and then it's like a great exercise. So, but and in Gulat Tanawin is so different because it's like, you know, it's like Raylan, like it's like it's just me and Raylan is like even Gulat Tanawin is a whole different character, you know. It's like someone we envision like hundreds of thousand years in the future, and kind of like reverse engineering, like we imagine glutathione in a cave, and then glutathione is like reverse engineering these genres that maybe like found it like fossilized in like the cloud. I don't know, maybe there's like a way in the future where like digital data is like, I don't know, fossilized that we don't understand
Totally.
yet. And then glutathione is just like reverse engineering these like things, like what is Buduts, like what is Ragatak, like what is that, and just like kind of like in their own makeshift controllers or instruments or whatever that they're like that goes down. It's like making something new, you know.
Cool. I was just watching, yeah, because I was watching your Jungle Asia set, and you were like, in my understanding, it's very like Raylan's on decks kind of, and you're holding the mic, like performing. Like, what is kind of like for you in like when you like, I guess, approach a gig, like, is that balance between production and performance focus, and like how much energy are you kind of put you yourself like putting into these different
Yeah.
elements?
So I would say Raylan is definitely like the producing backbone, like
Okay.
the like that, like, you know. Yeah, like producing backbone. Like I have like Ableton like intro or something. That's like the only thing I record. There's some tracks where I'm like, okay, like I makeshift this track, and I'm like, oh, I'm into this and whatever, and I send it to Raylan, and Raylan's like, oh yeah, I can work with this, and you know, like develops a lot more and stuff. And I send like a lot of samples and things like that. But also Raylan has a lot of the samples too. And then I think like Yeah, like for the vocals part, I think that's just like what I like am more comfortable on the mic with because no one can understand my language. Like even a lot of Filipinos don't understand my language because it's like a more of like a minority in the Philippines. So I feel just say anything and be vulnerable and actually not really be vulnerable, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And that's why it ends up like being like where I that I'm like on the mic. But yeah, and the English parts, there's some things that like I don't know, like some Rumi parts, like quotes from Rumi, or which is like cliche, but like it was just literally what I was absorbed before, you know, in going to the studio. Like I had an audiobook, and then yeah, it's just kind of very organic. And then yeah, it's just like a hybrid mishmash of like whatever we just like end up absorbing right before we go to the studio.
Cool. Is there a lot of like improv, like when you're performing live that you're doing, or like is it more rehearsed, more vibe?
Honestly, this is why it's such a cool process performing live, and why like it's part of our it's good in our exercise to keep doing live, because we practice, and I have some text I write down, but when we perform, it's always like better, like it's always like and it's different, always different. And I think it's because it's like yeah, like in visual art, right? Like you make a sculpture in your studio and then you ship it to, or you know, and it's in a gallery, and yeah, I could the gallery space can change it and things like that and whatever. But like when you're performing, it's like when you're out there, it's like the energy of like the people around definitely like informs what happens and whatever it is, like I don't know, it's just like a whole vibe, like it also like what comes out of me and stuff, and what comes out of Raylan, and it's just yeah. And I think so when we were performing live this time in Jungle Asia, I've never actually yelled, I never actually like screamed or that kind of vibe, and I think that situation necessitated also, maybe I heard Maya was playing Show Me the Body, I think earlier before I went to the venue, and then also just the heavy metal bands next to us, like definitely informing that. And then that was the first time that I was like screaming on the mic, and I was like, wait, this actually works, you know, in dream. So yeah, I feel like the live performance is definitely is part of the studio practice in a way.
Cool. Were you surprised by like what was coming out of you, or are you just kind of like, I'm going with it?
I'm going with it, but I was surprised that it worked so well.
Cool. That's sick.
I mean, I don't know, I can't say for Raylan if she was surprised, but definitely a lot of the things was new. Like every time we
Cool.
perform, like it's always something new that comes out, and then we learn from it and we'll like use it for the future.
Sick. I know because the Bedeau party was at Mosquito Net, right? And then was Jungle Asia as well, or no?
Jungle Asia was in the Delhi.
Oh, cool. Do you mind speaking on like Mosquito Mix Club or Mosquito Net?
Mosquito Mix Club. Oh yeah, it used to be Mosquito Net, or it could be also called Mosquito Net. It started like kind of a way for me to, I don't know, like a different avenue, just like more curating, organizing thing, music or sonic stuff, for more like niche or like not known music genres, or like for more experimental explorations, and yeah, so far it was like Budut's parties, no one knew what it was then, and there was also like dinosaur like inspired like ambient night where we like performers like were like making or like performing music live, or like yeah, DJing and performing music live to like BBC documentaries about
Crazy.
darkness. Yeah, so
Cute.
yeah, it's just like whatever. It's just like kind of whatever floats. Yeah, and then Jungle Asia was more like originally was like I came up to it and like, hey, should we do like I've been thinking about this thing, like it'd be crazy to have like a bunch of Southeast Asian DJs together. Because I don't think we really talk. Like in my opinion, we don't the Southeast Asian communities don't really talk to each other. For some reason, I have no idea why. Maybe colonialism, but before we used to really like stuff together and do trade and share language and culture. But I think maybe in colonialism things got separated with like you're Spanish, you're American, or Dutch, this is that and this is that. And then now, I was kind of like, how come I don't know the other Southeast Asian, DJs around here and stuff, or artists and stuff. So anyway, that was like the idea. And then Raylan was initially was like, I don't know, I'm too busy. But then like kind of opening up to it. And it was great. Yeah. And then yeah, included like Rempic Goddess from Malaysia and LNHD from I think Myanmar. Yeah, Myanmar. And Decoy from Bali, Indonesia. And yeah, XO, Varen, yeah, Glutenauin and Turtle Dreams. I think that was it. And Shafira did the poster. Shafira's original
Gotcha.
from me. So it was great. Like it was like from like people from outside of this city, outside of the country, and the diaspora. Oh yeah, and sorry, Ephemeral Objects was there too. And yeah, and I think it was kind of like the first time that I've ever been an event that was like kind of Southeast Asian, like unapologetically Southeast Asian, and also experimental. Like it was like,
Yeah.
yeah, it was
Like
like,
all of those, that lineup is crazy. Like that lineup goes crazy.
yeah, it was definitely like I mean it was like a year kind of in the making. And some things were definitely happenstance. Like Raylan bought some tracks from in Bandcamp from Rapid Goddess, and I think that relationship kind of like that started there. And then Deepboy was just like literally like maybe 3 weeks before. It's like, oh, my friend, like a friend was like, oh, my friend Tico is gonna be there coincidentally in Vancouver. Do you want to book? And yeah, that just happened.
Cool. I guess like because obviously I have like some context in terms of like your involvement in VBL, but I feel like it's kind of like a segue. Yeah, I guess Mosquito Mix Club. I wonder if that, or I'm just curious like what you see as like having like been involved in a project like that, like so intensely and like seen something like that like become kind of what it is. Like what kind of is your relationship to organizing? Specifically, especially like community and like identity-based role.
Yeah. Well, I think because I did stuff before even in VBL, and then I always thought like I think what I learned even before VBL is that this city has the city's so small and big at the same time. If that makes sense. Like it's so small people-wise, but the infrastructure it has and what's available and the money that's available to people. Not in my circles, but it's just like actually a lot or even like world class, and it's just like I guess it's not accessible to us, but what I learned was that like you could it's kind of a simulation, the city, like you could literally start something and have like it can have life on its own. I think because it's just there's not a lot of things available to our community that like the community just really like kind of helps out or be part of or want to be part of it, and you can like make platforms, what you could do is start something, and you make platforms and then not necessarily lead it, but kind of initiate it. And then, or you can be part of platforms that, yeah. And then it's sort of like just builds on its own, you could say, but it's still a lot of work, you know?
Totally.
Yeah. And it does feel like a simulation. So it's like, oh, well, I can't find anything like this here. Like, there's no bullets here and stuff. Like, I could either leave or be like depressed or whatever, or keep, or I don't know, both maybe. But yeah, you could also just be like, fuck it, I'll just start something here. I want to, it's kind of cliche, but be the change that, or do
Oh,
something
totally.
that you want to see. And sometimes it's just really hard, but I think that kind of stress is better than the stress of not having that, you know? It's the same
Yeah.
cortisol, you'd say, but it's just like you pick which kind of.
What the output is.
Yeah.
What are your goals with Mosquito Mix Club?
I don't really know. I never actually
Oh.
thought it was gonna, I really honestly thought it was just gonna be just 15 people in my studio and we could just keep dinosaur. I don't know, like weird things. But now, I'm not sure yet, but I do have plans for the future. I'm doing a research trip starting next month. I'm going to Southeast Asia and I'm
Cool.
doing on curatorial research on the grassroots techno around there, and check out the rave scenes. So maybe that will influence a lot what happens in Mosquito Mix Club next year when I come back in January. I don't know, but I'm just keeping it open-minded, and I'm also so open to what other folks are, yeah, if other people want to contribute. And yeah, I'm honestly I don't know where it's going, and I don't know, I'm trying to keep it super open. I don't want it to be just Southeast Asian heavy, I don't know, it wasn't, it actually never was intended to be like that. So I'm
Totally.
down to explore other other contributors and other organizer curators, what they can do with it. And yeah, I don't know.
That's so exciting. When's the last time you visited the Philippines?
Maybe 6 years ago,
Oh
and
shit,
it's so,
that's
yeah.
crazy.
And it's so wild because my cousins been seeing my stories on Instagram, and then they're like, oh, we should, because I didn't know, but they've been hosting parties
Oh,
in Philippines.
sick.
Oh, when you come home, we should throw a party and you DJ and there's gonna be drag performers, and I'm like, what? What's going on? But yeah, I've
That's
never
sick.
hometown open to that, or having that vibe, because I don't know, it's been a while. I always thought it was kind of a very small city. And yeah, it just sounds exciting that all the things that I'm kind of familiar with here, you know, it's just like, yeah, it's also really popping over there.
Pick.
Sai did also want to mention that through Vancouver Black Library, he learned a lot about how organizing in community-specific projects shifts the cultural landscape of the city. The attention and care from Maya and the folks at Vancouver Black Library, Faven, Atarmi, Mari, Abena, and Tamara, in giving their time to meaningfully change people's lives in big and small ways. Yeah, inspires him to follow through on his own projects, even though it may feel daunting and exhausting. They taught him how to follow his heart and that it's all worth it in the end when you do things not just for yourself. Okay, back to the interview.
But the last question I feel like we've touched on a little bit, but I'm just curious what if you have thoughts, you also don't have to. But I do obviously I'm an observer in so many ways, mainly that I'm not even in Vancouver. I'm literally just seeing all this stuff play out on Instagram. But it seems like in the past year or so, there has been a lot more there's just been a ton of activation around Southeast Asian, specifically DJs in Vancouver. It just seems like so many of the most kind of popular, in my opinion, most pop-in DJs are of Southeast Asian descent. And I was just wondering what you think, or if you've noticed a shift like that, or what you think maybe what might have activated that, if anything.
Yeah, I think I can't say Because for me, I've always been paying attention to
Totally.
Southeast Asian DJs and the genres and stuff, but I can definitely tell that even not just in Vancouver, but gl in like London even, and even in from like what my friends are playing in their sets, when if they're performing in Shanghai and things like that in other parts of Asia, it's like there's definitely like a lot more attention in Southeast Asia, or like a lot more platforming in Southeast Asian artists and DJs. And I don't know exactly why, because I feel like I'm just too, like I haven't like stepped back yet. But what I can say though for myself is that like I think before, yeah, like we don't talk, like Southeast Asians don't, from where I'm, you know, where I'm from, like I didn't know anything about Indonesia or Vietnam. Like I was in the Philippines, and I was like, even though they're neighbors, I was like, I know more about America and like Japan than like next door Indonesia or Vietnam or Malaysia or all those things, which are a lot more related even, and like share the same language family and all those things and cultures and music instruments and whatever and dance. And but it's when I moved here that I was like, oh, I'm starting to notice some similarities. That's so cool. And then I think like now doing music, it definitely like made me connect to a lot of people, because online, yeah, you just talk to people online, and like the music online, you can just like, I think the community becomes smaller, you know, you can kind of like, and I think yeah, before we're separate, like it was like the Spanish as such and whatever, but the ocean was like kind of what connected us before, like things kept sharing all the time. And now I feel like the ocean is like the internet, and then things are like place where we're just like naturally just having these like exchanges and like same algorithm now, even of like humor. And like there's, I get so many Southeast Asian like music from like memes and stuff, and I'm like, ooh, that's like sick. And it's so funny, but I think I don't even understand the language. And then yeah, and it's just like, but we get it, like it's like a whole family, and we just kind of get the vibes even if we can't understand each other. And I think maybe that's why it's like kind of like more unified. And then like even the songs that you'll hear, like it's all sharing each other, like the pangkot, like there's like Thai Buddhists, there's like yeah, there's Thai Buddhists, and then there's like yeah, there's just like, I don't know, there's a lot more like hybridity now within Southeast Asia from what I know, but I'm not an expert. It's just like maybe
Totally.
my observation. Yeah.
Word. Sick. Cool. And then my last cue is just like, is there anything that you wanted to talk about that we didn't talk about? And what is it? If that's the answer is yes.
I don't know, I think I'm good. And let's see about other question. Yeah.
No, that was most of it. Yeah, most yeah, that was all my cues.
Yeah. Oh, I guess I just want to say that like Raylan in For Good Known, like Raylan is like, yeah, is definitely like, sometimes I feel like a puppet, or not a puppet, but like a avatar or something, that like the body to be possessed, you know? Like my metaphors always changes. But like I feel like I like practice to get my body to be possessed, and then I feel like Raylan is like if we were doing like a ceremony, Raylan is like the one like you know, like I'm ramping up the music, and then like doing, you know, all these like yeah, and then just like starting the portal for me to be possessed.
Okay.
I'm like, you know, all these like, yeah.
She initiates the ritual. She like sets the ambiance.
Yeah, she like definitely is saying that and stuff. And then yeah.
Word.
And then maybe prepare for myself to like get to prime myself to be possessed.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. That's like 1 minute before. I have different, but it always changes. I haven't found like the best like one yet, but yeah.
It's a
But
good
I'm just,
metaphor.
yeah. Raylan's definitely like like big producing backbone. And I think
Right.
she I asked her if she wants to try to be perform more. So I think like and not just like yes, I think she's gonna include guitar in the future.
Oh,
So I'm
work.
kinda yeah.
Sick. Cool. That's it for me. I'm gonna stop recording.
Okay.
I did forget to ask Sai the iconic teachable moments question, which is, in your words, what is your personal definition of the word cool? And I got an amazing response through text that I will read now. So, cool is moments, things, ideas, people that make the world feel more crowded. Like I think about in Vancouver, most people know that there are crows and ravens. They're noticeably different. But did you know that there's two species of crows that we see every day? The Pacific Northwest crow and the common crow. The two species sing differently, behave differently, and look different if you're made aware of it. I think things like these make the world feel more vast, and I look for people, ideas, and moments in life that make the universe more full.
We are UBC Electronica, and we love electronic music such as Run for them life when I step into the jungle. We offer DJ workshops, open decks, pop-up parties, and more. Follow our socials such as Instagram, Discord, or join us through email, ubcelectronica@gmail.com.
Turn your radio to the CITR 101.9 FM on a Tuesday, specifically at 1 p.m. or 11 p.m. for saxophone Hello Primiti or saxophone L'Ennui. Hosted by moi, accompanied with the improvisationalists, saxophonists, composers, and musicians of our great era since the 70s. Featuring artists such as Anthony Braxton, Albert Ailer, Solange, Ghostface Killah, Ornette Coleman, Sonny Rollins. That's 1 p.m. or 11 p.m. on a Tuesday to listen to saxophone a la Primiti or saxophone L'Ennui.
What is up? You just heard the track Undercover by Luria off of Broken Music Compilation Number 1 in Vietnamese. I can't pronounce it, but you should look it up. And just before that, we heard a fabulous interview with Simon Garofiel, one half of Galutanawin, a like drone ambient production duo with Simon Garofiel and Raylan McGrath. And you heard all of this on Teachable Moments, CHR's one-stop shop for what's hot and what's not. Broadcasting from the unceded, ancestral, traditional, and shared territories of the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations in the city colonially known as Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. I'm your host, Dork. You are you. And today's definition of the word cool is cool, noun, moments, things, ideas, people that make the world feel more crowded. This definition comes straight from Psy. There was a really amazing example of like crows in the city and like things and like facts kind of that like expand, I don't want to say like expand our lore, but I really, really love this definition of like with the focus on vastness and fullness and like crowdedness and like, I don't know, like amalgamations of additions in our lives that like do just kind of like make things more interesting, I guess. And yeah, really, yeah, I want to do like a whole episode, I guess, like focused on that as well, but we are out of time, unfortunately. We have time for a couple more tracks. This next song is Gayena by Almaz and XO off of their EP Sot Wasala. And you're listening to it on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. What is up? You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded, ancestral, traditional, and shared territories of the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations in the city colonially known as Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And you just heard an extra, extra, extra special episode of Teachable Moments. CITR's one-stop shop for what's hot and what's not. I'm your host, Dork. You are you. And today's definition of the word cool is cool, noun, moments, things, ideas, people that make the world feel more crowded, featuring Simon Garofiel of Galutanawin, one half of the production duo. And what an amazing conversation. Thank you so much, Sai, for taking the time. Yeah, I hope that everyone checks him out, keeps an eye out for more events, releases. I know they have a track that like is itching to be released, so Hopefully we'll be able to hear that so soon. We are going to close the show with Sue by Nofa. It's their newest single. And thank you so much for tuning in to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.